please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code Taskmaster to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code Taskmaster to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code Taskmaster and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So don't forget to use that promo code Taskmaster. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. With me today, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Last week, we were talking about Mandy Rose a little bit, and we had mentioned that she got fired from WWE, you know, some, you know, X-rated content, I guess, that they would consider for her OnlyFans or her fan site account. I just read recently the manager came out and said since she got fired, within 7 days, she made $500,000. Did you see that? Can you believe that?
Well, it'd be nice to get fired every week, wouldn't it?
That helped her big time with the, right? I mean, man, did that help.
Right. Wow. Good luck to her. Fabulous.
So her contract was for $150,000, and she got basically $500,000 last week, and they were saying she was making $250,000 a month anyway. So, man, that's just crazy, the amount of money she was making on that site.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Imagine that, though. Like, you decide, like, oh, do I make all this money or do I want to be in WWE TV for $150,000 a year? I mean, that's kind of why she got famous, maybe, and that's why she got so much popularity from that site. But that's just crazy how much money she makes off there.
It's amazing how much, and good luck to her. Fabulous. But what happens when she's not on that TV for X amount of months?
That's what a lot of people are saying. Maybe she'll fall off. Maybe she won't be as popular. But there is still social media where she has 4 million Instagram followers and stuff. So maybe keep herself a present or maybe do some acting or something. I don't know. She's got to keep herself relevant, right?
She's going to be fine if she has that many social media people. She'll be fine. And if she's making $500,000 last week, she's not going to fall off to 150, right, for the year. So, I mean, the basic thing is she's trying to do what's good for her. The company's trying to do what's good for them. Sometimes good business, all the time, to me, good business is when both people agree and walk away happy. But you can't have it one way or the other, you know what I mean? Because that doesn't work. So they both achieve what they wanted to achieve, it seems to me.
Do you think that they wanted a cut of the money? That's been thrown out there, too, that they were jealous she was making so much money they weren't getting a cut of it.
I mean, who knows? But do you really think a multi-billion-dollar corporation needs to have the cut? I don't know. I don't know who's in charge of that. That's what they need to find out. Who is in charge of that department? Because obviously somebody is, right? So whoever's in charge of that is the one that made that, is going to make that kind of decision. So I mean, I don't really know, but nothing surprises me. You know, it's business and labor. It breaks down to that simple. Whether you're going to paint a person's house, they want you to paint it as cheap as possible, and you want to make money. It's that simple. And, you know, if she made this kind of money in 1 week, I don't see it falling off for a couple, at least 3 or 4 months at all. So good luck to her. And like you said, she'd probably do some kind of television shows or something to keep herself out there.
Yeah, I think in the, you know, the bodybuilding world or the fitness model world, she already kind of had a name for herself anyway a little bit. So I feel like she still had a fan base regardless if WWE gave her the platform or not. I feel like she still has a fan base out there.
Yeah, I mean, she probably had a big fan base going into WWE, right?
Somewhat, yeah, because a buddy of mine who hasn't watched wrestling in years, he was like following her on Instagram. He's like, oh, I know who she is. And he's like, I've known her for years. So I guess she had some sort of fitness modeling following for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow the fitness thing at all. I hardly follow bodybuilding anymore. But obviously she had a following, and she brought that following over to WWE and then transferred it over to her, you know, private business that she was doing. And again, good for her.
Do you think that, like, Twitch, OnlyFans, all this other stuff, do you think that should be allowed? Like, should they be able to do side gigs, or there's signs of WWE they shouldn't be able to do that kind of stuff?
That's a decision that WWE should have made when this first came out. You know, now it's like you're trying to shut the barn door while the horses have left. Somebody dropped the ball on that one. You know what I mean? So now, how many more people are on that?
I'm not sure.
Didn't they put something out about 6 months ago where they're supposed to give that up?
And Twitch, whatever that is, the streaming thing with Twitch, yeah.
So did they?
But she was still on it as of, you know, a week ago, whatever, when she got fired. So obviously it didn't apply to her for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, did it apply to anybody else?
I don't know. Xavier Woods is still doing his Twitch and he's still doing his YouTube channel. So I don't know, like, where you draw the line. There's some guys that they can do and some guys can't.
Yeah. If we don't know the basics of that, we can't really make a decision. You know what I mean?
Yep. It just seems like some people can and some people can't. You know what I mean? It almost seems like, oh, if you're not, you know, if you're here on this level, you could do it. Oh, Mandy, you're getting too big for your britches here. Let's cut you down. That's kind of what it seems like to me.
You know, just throwing this out there. You said there was some footage that WWE didn't like.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard rumors for a long time about a sale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would something go across somebody's butt and get butt hurt? That was someone's going to buy the company that said, what's going on here? Would a red flag go up?
Definitely a possibility.
Well, and with their season coming up for WrestleMania and who they want to get, does he want to get involved in that kind of controversy where he's been the biggest movie star of all this generation anyway, and he's squeaky clean? Does he want to be involved in that?
Tough to say, yeah. That could be a problem, could be the issue.
It could be a lot of issues. I mean, so until you know what, that's why I don't like to surmise anything. Because a lot of people say, well, this is what's happened at WWE. It's a publicly owned company. Until you know what the bottom line is and the inner workings, and 99.9 of us don't, you can't make an assumption.
Because some fans are saying this isn't the Attitude Era anymore. You can't do that risque stuff. But I don't know, they were kind of doing it on TV. That's kind of her character, her gimmick, that she was being all risque.
Yeah, well, but did you see the film that they put out, that she put out, that was supposedly over the line?
I only saw like snippets and clips, of course, for educational purposes. Yeah. that people were putting out there on Twitter. I don't think they were showing everything because I think it's behind some sort of uncensored paywall. But I saw what people were putting out. Seemed pretty risque, I guess you would say. Some people were saying that she's naked on some of the stuff. So I don't know if you could put that out on Twitter, but that's what some of the people were saying. She was actually fully naked on some of it.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I go back to, I'm glad for her making all that money. Good luck to her. But if you're sitting at a corporate meeting and your Disney may buy you and you're kid-friendly, and you have all kinds of merchandise out there directed at children. In this day and age, it doesn't take much to be canceled for one little thing. I mean, both sides are right on this one, I see. If they thought it was going to jeopardize anything, in their company, I can understand. But I also understand she needs to make as much money as she possibly can. So good for her. And they probably did what they thought was right for them. So I can't fault them for being bigots or playing favorites, I don't think, because I don't know enough about the issue. But, I mean, in today's day and age, everybody's so sensitive about so many things. And when you go to a board meeting, I can't imagine how do you deal with those people that are being hit at all angles and everybody's canceled. They're talking now about comedians. Comedians aren't going on tour anymore. Think about that.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in a different world.
And with her, I feel like, because they said the door is open to bring her back, I feel like if she comes back, she's got all the stroke because she's like, well, I'm making this much money over here. Now you got to pay me more than $150K a year. I guarantee that.
Yeah, I do too.
So I don't know. It's kind of silly on their part if they're going to bring her back. I mean, they're going to have to pay her more all because they released her, you know? Crazy.
I have a feeling they wouldn't do that immediately.
I'll bring her back.
Yeah. Because like you said, it doesn't make sense. If you're letting her go because of that, then you're letting her go because of what you think could happen with her. People say, oh, is she the one that had that on Twitter or Twitch? It doesn't alleviate the problem. Only time does. You know what I mean? I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. But it looks like she's doing very good without WB. I mean, doing exceptionally well without them.
Good for her.
So as far as today and today's topic, I want to go back to the year of 2000, December 17th, Washington, D.C., the MCI Center, the attendance 6596, so almost 6,600 people. Tagline, unedited, unpredictable, unreal. It is Starrcade 2000, and the pay-per-view buys were 50K. That's it for this one. So where were you at this point?
Home.
Any thought of coming back, or did they call you to come back?
They called me earlier, but no, I wasn't coming back. I saw the writing on the wall.
So as far as like the power structure going on here, supposedly Bischoff is looming. You know, he's still part of WCW. He's still kind of looming, but he's not at the show. He's not running this show. Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, is running the show. And the head of creative for this show is Terry Taylor. And of course, you know, you got Disco is back there as part of the writing committee. Ed Ferrara is still there, a part of the writing committee. But basically, it's Terry Taylor and Johnny Ace's show. What do you think about that? A little Johnny Ace and Terry Taylor show for WCW.
Two smart guys, yeah. How many buy rates do they do?
Only 50K.
Whoa. The flagship program, right?
Yeah, Starrcade, big time. Big time, a disappointment.
Can you imagine it going to 50K Starrcade?
No, it's terrible. 50K, very, very awful. Yeah, very low. Yeah. But if you look at, though, the Russo era leading up to it, kind of, I don't know, to me, definitely hurt them and what they were able to do here, because it almost seems like they were behind the eight ball to begin. Like when they get taken, when they take over, it's almost like, man, we got a lot of rebuilding to do here. The Russo era of WWE didn't go as planned.
Well, how did they think it was going to go?
Tough to say. I don't know.
How did they sell that package?
As far as Russo, the former WWF head writer, comes in from the Attitude Era.
Was
and
comes he
in
the
WWE.
Head writer?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He had the complete run of that show?
Well, he's the head writer, but he's not the boss. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's what I heard, that, you know, some of his stuff would get on, but most of it wouldn't. Is that true or not?
I don't know. That's the thing, that they would always say that Vince McMahon was the great filter, that he would say, this is a good idea, this is not a good idea, let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah, so, okay, let's get back on record.
So with that, it's almost like, okay, we're a little bit behind the eight ball here. Johnny Ace is coming in. He's coming in from All Japan Pro Wrestling. Can he right the ship? At least, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's had success. Is that basically what you surmised about Johnny Ace, like, okay, he has good success in All Japan Pro Wrestling. That's why we need him here in the United States. He's a good Finnish guy, yada, yada.
Yeah, probably. It wasn't, this was when Baba had died, right?
Yes.
Johnny's a smart guy. He saw that they couldn't continue without Baba as the figurehead. And like I said, he was a smart guy. So I'm sure Johnny was educated in the Japanese style over there, the strong style, and he thought he could bring it to the States.
What about Terry Taylor as the head writer? Did you like Terry as far as just his creative mind?
Terry was a very creative guy, yep.
Yeah. Funny, a lot of times, because I know he would report stuff to Meltzer, a lot of times you'd see in the Observer like, oh, this was Terry Taylor's idea, which means that he was probably telling, even during like NWO stuff, like he would say, oh, I was a part of that. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Is that him trying to get himself out there?
The way I look at this, at that time, we were working for like the government, right? And you were supposed to keep secrets in-house. They're leaking it to a journalist, and he's trying to get the credit of shit he didn't do. I'm not saying he didn't do it, but I'm sure he took not very few people that were on any committee that I was ever on were talking to Meltzer and the journalist. To me, you can take as much credit as you want if nobody else is talking to them, right?
Right, yeah.
So, but Terry's a smart guy.
I just always found that funny. Like, you would see sometimes that would pop up. Like, you wouldn't see that with other guys. Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, Kevin Sullivan, you know, wrote this NWO. It would be like, Terry Taylor wrote this, and he was a part of this angle. So, just always found that, you know, just a little bit funny. Just always tickled me. I was like, that's just so crazy. He put that in there. It made it almost so obvious that he was the one giving the info.
Yeah, you could see that with Meltzer. All of a sudden, would not be saying anything great about somebody. Then all of a sudden, the guy was the best thing since sliced bread. And you knew that he had been leaking shit to him. You know what I mean?
Mm. Some guys, I think Jericho might have been one of them. I think Conan, Terry Taylor, some guys that would talk to him for sure.
Yeah. A lot of them did.
So as far as this show, to me, and I know we'll get into it, but I like this show better. It just seemed like almost like a little bit of breath of fresh air. Yes, you still had a lot of the same storylines and a lot of the same guys, but I don't know. For some reason, I just liked the show, and we'll get into it. Obviously, the first match is a triple ladder match. So you got three count of Sugar Shane Helms and Shannon Moore versus the Young Dragons of Jimmy Yang, Katsuyoshi, and then versus Jamie Noble and Evan Courageous. The winner would receive a cruiserweight title match. So it's like it's a triple ladder match, but the person that ends up winning it for the team would end up getting would get a cruiserweight title shot, and Chavo Guerrero, who's a cruiserweight champion, is on commentary for the match. Awesome match. I mean, it's a car wreck. You can say crazy bumps, flippity flop, whatever you want to say. It's a really good match. All these guys were excellent at this point. Of course, three count does end up winning it in about a 14-minute match. So they gave it some pretty good amount of time. Three count is your winner, and Shane Helms and Shannon Moore kind of both retrieve the contract. So it's going to be leading up to Shane Helms eventually getting it, but Shane Helms and Shannon Moore are announced as the winners. Pretty good match as far as just crazy triple ladder match. It's kind of the sign of the times that, like, hey, let's just put these guys out there that work really hard, and they're going to bust their balls out there. They're going to bust their ass.
Yeah, you knew those guys were very, very good. My only concern is, do you put that on first?
Usually, right? You like the cruiserweights going on first, or is that too much?
Yeah, but I'm talking about ladders. Hmm. Three ladders, you know. Just remember this: when you put a kind of match like that, you got to follow the history. Has there been a better ladder match than Razor
and HBK? I know that. Yeah. I like that one. I mean, I was there live for it, so I love it even more. But
has there ever been anyone better?
I guess people could debate it, but I like that one. But yeah, okay. People could debate it.
But you keep putting more and more matches on, it takes away from what it was all about.
Hmm.
That's just my opinion. But if you're going to put those guys in it, a three-way, you could have started with the cruiserweights, a cruiserweight match, but give those guys a chance to bring up the crowd again later on during the night, because they're going to be exhausted after that match. And I never saw it, but I'm going to tell you, I would imagine the people going crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to have something in your back pocket as the night goes on, brother.
So you don't like it going on first, but you have, you know, you like the match.
Absolutely hate it going on first. Absolutely hate it going on first. Was the people popping on that one better than probably 90% of the matches?
For the most part, yeah. Depending on who was in it, but yeah, for the beginning part of the show, for sure.
And probably they didn't see that kind of action. You need to have something in your back pocket when you're selling a pay-per-view. You can start off with a very good match to get them off their ass, but if you got a gimmick match like that, what are you going to follow with? Fire-breathing dragons?
Hmm. I gotcha. It was a very strong opener. Maybe, like you said, maybe too strong of an opener.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do like starting out with the cruiserweights, though. That always gets the crowd going, for sure.
Yeah, you can start with the cruiserweights, but they don't need to be in a three-way ladder match.
You just burnt
your crowd out, and you've made it much harder for the guys following that. And, you know, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be able to do, follow something. But you're putting the guys in a hole, and you're also putting yourself in a hole that you can't have something in your back pocket to bring the people back up again. Because you would want them out of their mind for that main event. It'd be great if they were on right before the main event.
Yeah. Yep. So as far as Russo's gone, so Terry Taylor is booking it, but the actual backstage stuff, remember we talked about this before, they crammed so much stuff into like a minute or you know, a minute and a half, whatever it is, and it's just too much stuff. They continued it here, even the Crash TV stuff, even though Russo was gone. So we get a Lance Storm making fun of Jim Duggan because he turned back to the USA. Remember we were talking about that Russo thing where he made him into a Canadian, but he's back. He's back to the USA. So Storm's making fun of him in the back. Then we cut to Jeff Jarrett having a conversation with Mike Sanders. And then we cut to Chronic, who's telling people that they're baked, which is just a funny part of the storyline for Chronic. But it's just, again, I don't know why they would keep it going, but that was kind of the only downfall really of the show for me. Is like, I hate when they cram too much stuff into too little time. That Crash TV stuff is, I don't know, it might be okay for a TV show, but not on pay-per-views. I don't like it.
Okay for a TV.
Right.
You can't follow it. You know, soap operas last forever because it's a long, drawn-out storyline. First of all, this is going to be a two-hour show, right? And you got ladders, tigers and bears, oh my. And then you go and throw this stuff in? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to follow it all, that's for sure.
So then we have Lance Storm with Ilya Skipper and Major Gunn defeating Ernest the Cat Miller with Miss Jones in a singles match in 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Pretty good match here. Really nothing crazy. The only thing is Hacksaw, that they were teasing it before, that he was coming back to the USA. Storm had teased him and said, like, you're going to get fired if you don't help me tonight. So reluctantly again here, Duggan is helping Lance Storm and helping Canada and costing the Cat the match, even though he reluctantly did it, he still cost him the match, and Lance Storm is your winner. So I don't know why Russo's gone, but they're kind of still teasing this, teasing this Canada Duggan storyline. That was terrible.
They're appeasing each other.
Yeah.
You said Eddie's there, right?
Ed Ferrara's there, yeah.
That's his gimmick, right?
Well, after the match, Lance Storm and Skipper then beat up Duggan and said, thanks for helping us win, and they beat him up. So it's just one of those things where, I don't know, maybe they were just wanting to mention the storyline, then clean the slate and get rid of it. I'm not sure.
maybe. I'm not sure either, so I can't make judgment on it.
Yeah. So he helps him reluctantly, and then now he's gone from Team Canada after they beat him up. So I don't know. Maybe Easy Ed maybe wrote a part of that one. Not sure.
Again, I'm not sure either, but why cloud it if it's gone? Just stop it.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to the back. We have Buff Bagwell's back there for a promo. We have a promo with Tigress, Rey Mysterio, Conan, and Billy Kidman. We've got something going on with Reno and his former rival turned tag team partner, Big Vito. It's just a lot of stuff kind of crammed into a quick thing in the backstage area. So then we cut to the next match. Terry Funk defeats Crowbar, your buddy Crowbar, with Daphne in about 10 minutes in a hardcore match, and Terry Funk wins the WWE Hardcore title. This is actually pretty good and pretty funny. A very enjoyable match here from Funk and your boy Crowbar, which maybe you can expect no less from those two.
Yeah, they both would work well together. I could see that easily. Yeah.
Yeah, they beat the hell of each other. Just a fun match. Do you like Funk being involved with the hardcore division? Do you think that's okay? I mean, obviously, this is 2000. He's a bit older. He's out of his prime. But do you like that for him?
My answer is ECW. He's the founding father of ECW.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mick Foley. I mean, everything was going to be easier in a hardcore match for Terry. Yeah, absolutely. What's the name of his book? More Than Hardcore?
Yes.
So there it is.
So he's your winner and your new hardcore champion. Pretty good match. I mean, Crowbar, I know he's your boy. You still love Crowbar to this day. He's actually still going strong to this day.
Yeah, good for him too.
So we go backstage. Mean Gene is interviewing Team Canada. They're bringing up the point that they dismissed Duggan from the group. Even though obviously Duggan reluctantly helped him, but basically saying he's gone from the group. And Mean Gene makes a joke that he wants Major Guns to raise up his flagpole. So a funny joke from Mean Gene with Major Guns.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be with Gene.
And they cut to a different part of the arena. Lex Luger said he's preparing for his no DQ match. He's got a against Goldberg later on in the evening. He's got brass knuckles just in case. So interesting there from Bill Goldberg and Luger, which will be a co-main event later on the night. So then we have Big Vito.
Is this match going to be in non-DQ? No DQ?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So then we have Big Vito and Reno with Marie versus Chronic, of course, Brian Adams, Brian Clark. This match ends in a no contest in about 8 minutes. I don't know. It was okay, I guess. You know, okay at best. Nothing really to write home about, but Chronic and Reno end up beating up Big Vito. Reno actually turns on his partner during the match. No contest. I don't know if you like that, don't like that as far as the booking.
I'm really removed from it from, you know, then, so I like pay-per-views that settle things, don't make questions. You got a way to make questions on Monday night. So,
yeah, that's a fair point. Like, if you're going to do no contest and stuff like that, storyline driven stuff, say for the TV shows, have the pay per views be finishes.
Right. That's why you get paid extra money, right?
Then we cut to the back, and Mean Gene is with 3 Count. Chavo Guerrero interrupts them, and then we go to another interview with General Rection, your favorite character, talking about Shane Douglas, the franchise, and their match later on in the evening. So I know you're going to love that one when we get to it, because that is your favorite gimmick name of all time, UG Rection, General UG Rection. Build them up. But before that, though, they're going to have an ambulance match. Mike Awesome versus Bam Bam Bigelow. Mike Awesome defeats Bam Bam in the ambulance match in about 8 minutes. I don't know. Nothing crazy here. Nothing to write home about here. I don't know. It just felt just there. It wasn't anything. You almost expect better from Mike Awesome and better from Bam Bam, but it just felt like middle of the card. Eh, whatever.
I mean, what was the reason why there was an ambulance match?
Mike Awesome's gimmick at the time. He was, quote unquote, injuring people. He injured Canyon. He was, you know, really.
They were getting hauled out by ambulances?
Yeah, that was like the part of the Mike Awesome gimmick.
Okay. And who ended up taking the ride?
Bam Bam. Mike Awesome gets the win.
Okay.
He actually won by throwing him through the top of the ambulance into the ambulance. Still, you don't necessarily have to go in through the back door. You can go in through the top. Mike Awesome wins. I don't know. It just almost seems like Mike might have been, I don't know, so disinterested at this point. Remember the gimmicks we talked about, the Fat Trick Thriller, that 70s guy? I don't know. Maybe did you get to the point where, man, I'm just so not interested. I'm not focused because they treated me like crap.
That could be. That could be easily. Because he was a great performer.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week. We feel almost felt like they dropped the ball with him big time.
I mean, he was tall too, and big, and he could work. He was one of the first big guys I ever saw do the tope over the top.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes when you miss the boat on somebody, you can recover, but if you miss the boat twice, the guy's just about through.
For sure. So then we cut to the back, and Reno is talking about how he turned on Vito and joined the Natural Born Thrillers. So now he's a part of that group as well. Then we have the WCW United States Championship match. General Huge Erection defends his title and defeats Shane Douglas by disqualification, retaining his United States Championship in about 10 minutes here. They would continue on the feud, basically. Do you like that, though, the DQ finish here?
No.
And, you know, I know Erection remains U.S. champion. He goes over, but you like the DQ finish here for the franchise?
No, I don't like a DQ or the pay-per-view. I mean, there's sometimes you're forced into it, but not in a championship match. If you can get, you know, you should be able to think of the finish better.
So with General Erection retaining, obviously they're going to have another match next month at WCW Sin as well, the next pay-per-view. So we cut to the back, and Mean Gene is with the beautiful Medeja and Scott Steiner. Big Papa Pump is calling on his freaks. He's got a great promo, and he says that he's going to be hitting switches on bitches and that he's going to be getting with his freaks after the match. Great, great promo.
Yeah, I mean, he was running hot then, boy. He was great.
Get this. You're going to love this. Then a vignette aired to hype the return of Glacier to WCW. They're saying Blood Runs Cold again. This time around, the gimmick is obviously going to be more comedic, and they're going to do it for laughs. It's going to be more of a comedy gimmick than a serious gimmick. Do you like that for Glacier and his return, Blood Runs Cold again?
No, because he worked very hard at Glacier, and I might not have been a big proponent when it first started, but he worked so hard, I thought he deserved a shot to put him in a comedy act. Hey, they did what they wanted to do, but he's a wonderful person, and he's a very, very talented guy.
The thing that was funny about it to me, and I liked it when they brought it back, they made him like an egomaniac. He'd pretend that the crowd wanted his autograph. Like, they really went above and beyond to make him like an asshole heel and totally like made it a comedy thing. Like, oh, I'm Glacier. Blood Runs Cold again. I'm a huge star around here. And obviously, you know, he got booed and people that didn't care for that. So I don't know. I liked it the second time around.
Okay, good. Good. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to it now. I was home, so. He probably could get anything over. He's very good.
There's a backstage promo with Kevin Nash and DDP. We talked about this prior week. They are the insiders instead of the outsiders. Nash and DDP will be defending or going after the tag team titles, but they are the insiders rather than the outsiders. I know you weren't a big fan of that name.
No. I mean, when you say, you know, it's a play on the outsiders, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Good. I just don't know.
The next match up, the Harris brothers, Ron and Don Harris and Jeff Jarrett, defeated the Filthy Animals, Billy Kidman, Conan, and Rey Mysterio in a six-man tag, which was actually a bunkhouse brawl. The match went 12 minutes and 30 seconds. I actually really liked it. It was fun. The bunkhouse brawl six-way. I mean, there's a lot of guys and a lot of stuff going on. Definitely not a standard six-way. It was more of a free-for-all tornado tag team style where you just kind of have everything all over the place and weapons involved. But it was fun. It was the bunkhouse brawl. And, of course, Jarrett, he's got to win a bunkhouse brawl. Jarrett and the Harris boys get the win over the Filthy Animals. You like that? Does it sound like it'd be fun or sound like it's too much going on at once?
No, it sounds
crazy.
Like it'd be fun. And you got great guys and they're working. I know it would be exciting, fun, yeah.
Mark Madden, who was one of the announcers, kept calling him the NWO, the Nashville World Order, the Harris boys and Jeff Jarrett, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. Oxford Woody guy.
Pretty good match, though. I definitely, definitely like that. They have then a promo where they're going to announce, like I mentioned, the next pay-per-view next month, Sin. Then they're going to have Buff Bagwell backstage for another interview. So Buff is kind of sprinkled throughout this show a lot. Very interesting. And then they have an interview with him, and they have the Sarge. Dwayne Bruce is interrupted, and he's actually attacked by Lex Luger, of all things. So that is a tease. We talked about this in the past of Sarge, who trained Goldberg. They're going to team up against Luger and Bagwell, but they kind of teased it there with Luger beating up Goldberg's quote-unquote trainer in the back, which adds more fuel to the fire for the pay-per-view later on.
That's good.
And Schiavone throws out a funny line. We've come a long way since Flair and Race in 83. I don't know if he's saying the show's not good or if he's saying it's been a long 17 years. I'm not sure, but just a funny little zinger from Schiavone.
It is.
So then we have the Insiders, Diamond Dallas Page and Kevin Nash, defeating the Perfect Event of Chuck Palumbo and Sean Stasiak to win the WCW Tag Team Championship. The match went 12 minutes, and it was really good. It was actually, I don't know, kind of maybe surprisingly good. Mike Sanders gets involved, a lot of stuff going on, but this was a really, really good match. And I don't know, maybe that surprised you, maybe it doesn't, but Nash and DDP, hell of a team and a damn good tag team match here.
I could see Nash and DDP being a good tag team. Yeah.
Now, Nash, after the match, gets on the mic and gives a little hey yo shout out to the man, Scott Hall, who was obviously fired many, and I guess really not fired, but the contract was up many months ago. Is that a little tease there from Nash? Hall would never return, but was that a little tease or maybe just a little hello to his friend?
I think it was hello. How are you doing? I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Would you have been upset? Like, come on, May doesn't
no,
work.
No. I think it adds something to it sometimes. Gets people talking. We're still talking about it, right?
Yeah, it definitely got, I remember me and my friends at that time, because we were still into WCW, or trying to get back into WCW. Like, oh, maybe Hall's coming back. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're still talking about it 22 years later.
Yep. So your new tag team champions are the Insiders. Then we have a no DQ match. Goldberg's career is on the line. They're keeping that Russo storyline going, even though Russo's gone. Lex Luger versus Goldberg. Their first match when we talked about Mayhem, it was okay. It wasn't that good. It was a little, I don't know, not as good. This one is better, and it is a pretty good match. Goldberg ends up defeating Luger in this no-holds-barred match. The match goes about 7 minutes and 20 seconds. So better this time around from Goldberg. Maybe predictably, Goldberg ends up winning this one.
Okay.
Too predictable, you think?
They were caught in a tough situation here. They got to get somebody back up, and you're reaching back and pulling out the bat that hit 73 home runs. You know what I mean? Let's swing with this one.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Now, this is the interesting part. So Buff Bagwell comes out afterwards and attacks Goldberg with a chair, cementing that he has turned heel and him and Luger are like together. My only thing is, if it's a no DQ match and you're with Luger, why wouldn't you help Luger win, right? Why would you come out after the match? That's the only part I don't get.
Exactly. There's some stuff that, you know, you can punch holes in anything. But if there's no DQ, and Goldberg says he's bringing brass knuckles, did he use them?
Luger, that was Luger who said it. Yeah, Luger did try to use them in the match, yeah.
Okay. Then if he used them and got blocked, and Bill picked them up, and as he went to hit Luger, if Bagwell threw him in the chair and he hit Goldberg, it's like you said, you can use the chair anytime. Why would you wait till your guy got beat? Just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, wouldn't you beat him up during the match and try to make Luger win? Yeah, that was just a weird part because you knew Bagwell's with him, of course. So just cheat and help him win, and he didn't. That was just the one thing. My one problem with it was just like you could put a big hole in that booking right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So next up, the last match of the evening, the WCW World Heavyweight Championship match. Scott Steiner is going to defend his title. Scott, of course, was with Medeja versus Sid Vicious, made his surprise return to WCW and put into the Starrcade main event. You would think, okay, I don't know about this. Sid and Steiner, I don't know. Actually, and maybe I'm wrong. On paper, maybe people didn't like it or didn't think it was good, or they thought of whatever they thought of it. I love this match. I thought it was really good. I was a big fan of Steiner, and I felt like Sid really, you know, put his effort into this one. This was actually a good match. Scott Steiner ends up defeating Sid via submission, the Steiner recliner, in about 10 minutes and 15 seconds to retain title. What do you think about that? Scotty Steiner going over Sid basically kind of clean.
Yeah, Sid had never had a problem. I never had a problem with Sid doing the job. And he knew to do the job, let's do it the right way. I really appreciated Sid. And putting him and Steiner together, great. And Steiner wins clean. This is good.
What do you think overall? Because at the end of the show, Steiner and Medeja pose, and you know they're happy that Steiner won clean, and he's a monster. He's the heel champ. He's the man. What do you think overall of the show? It seems a little bit more cleaner than we've talked about in the last few months with some of these Russo shows. It seems a little bit cleaner under Terry Taylor.
Yeah, I would put it thumbs in the middle. Would you?
Yeah, I'd like the ladder match. I like the main event. I like the insiders match. I liked the Jeff Jarrett match. So I don't know, there was some good stuff in there for sure. It seemed like they're headed in the right direction.
Is this Lauren Eitz too booking it, or is it just Terry?
Supposedly Johnny Ace is the final say.
Okay. So they came out of the shoot pretty good. Good for them.
Yep. So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Go to ProSingTees.com. Visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else do you got going on? Anything good?
I'm not doing anything until after the first of the year. So I'm off. Have a good time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Enjoy your fishing. Very good. Good stuff. But thank you, everybody out there, for listening. See you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com, and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two-man power trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan
for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved.
Oh, the phone! This building is going to rock one more time as we look and witness the human cyborg of the 30 wins that he has in this current streak. I would venture to say, for Goldberg, on a personal level, this is the most important match in the entire streak, because what Luger has done to him, to his close friend Sarge, Dwayne Bruce, what he has done to the Goldberg name. Goldberg, who's been a busy man, out promoting the book, I'm Next.
Great book.
We've seen him on Regis. Understand, earlier tonight he was on The Man Show on Comedy Central. Here he comes to the ring, a man who has canvassed the country, but the man who has put many men down to the canvas with the dreaded spear. And I would say throughout the history, when it's all said and done in sports entertainment, the spear will go down as one of the most lethal maneuvers ever. Now, Vance, you can't see this, but Luger, in his arrogance, has turned his head away. Skin of Goldberg. He wants to get Goldberg upset, but he truly believes in his mind, Mark, that he's the better man. He believes
and
that.
Now,
he's the smarter he man, and that's what's going to count.
He stands 6 feet tall. He's weighing in at 292 pounds from Dawsonville, Georgia. His power spear hits. When good hold, body slammed in and destroyed opponents around the world without mercy. Tonight, he wants to keep his current streak alive to regain the world title. Ladies and gentlemen, here's
yes.
Goldberg.
And he is on the hunt against an arrogant SOB in the total package.
Oh. Right here at the broadcast table. Goldberg's streak at stake.
Oh.
Lex Luger's head at stake on the table.
Wait, Mark. We better get out of here.
Goldberg and Luger, you can see. Tony, are you with us?
I'm with you. We survived. I'm not so sure the total package did. Scott, what a feeling, what a presence it is being that close to Goldberg. Wow. When he's winning away on someone.
Unbelievable, the impact. I was scared to death.
I mean, you know, we sit here each and every week close to the ring, but when Goldberg's at your table, he commands respect.
Absolutely. Huh. If you don't give it to him, he'll beat it out of you.
Well, now, surely you're not counting the total package out of this match just yet,
I know. No, I'm just stating a fact, and you had to feel it too. When you're that close to Goldberg, when he's snorting, when he's spitting, when he's pounding, it's an intimidating thing. And look at this. This man, look how he's approaching this match, how he's fighting. He will not be denied.
Can I give a little analogy here? This is bullfighting. The matador against the bull. If the bull doesn't gore the matador, i.e. Lex, early, the matador cannot smart the big bad bull, even if it is a man like Bill Goldberg. The longer this goes, the better chance Lex has, the more chance he'll stick the sword right between Goldberg's horns and then the bull's career.
You know more about bull than anybody, and Goldberg's streak, I think, is going to remain intact. Look at Luger. This is Lex Luger, the former world champion, U.S. champion, TV champion, tag champion,
Luger has something up his sleeve. You know he does.
Well, he's too smart. He's had it all day. He attacked Sergeant Dwayne Bruce during an interview with Buff Bagwell, and Buff, thank goodness, came to Sarge's aid and got rid of the total package before any more damage could be done. We understand that Goldberg during the day had been visiting children in the Make-A-Wish Foundation all day here in Washington, and then comes in and becomes the monster.
Just about broke Luger in half. Get a shot. The pain on Luger's face is unbearable.
He manhandled him. Oh, yeah, Luger said, heading for higher ground.
That is a despicable human being, Lex Luger. He knows. He knows in his heart of hearts he can't match up physically with Goldberg. Therefore, the mind game, the videotaped evidence for mayhem. What he's doing with Sergeant Dwayne Booth, playing on Goldberg's emotion. Luger thinks that emotion is the Achilles heel of the monster.
Scott, would you get your lips off Goldberg's butt for a second? Luger, if anybody can match up with Goldberg, it's him. If anybody can withstand Goldberg's punishment physically, it's the total package. He's leaner. He's as strong. He's almost as big. He can compete.
Well, then he's getting his chance as Goldberg grabbed his head and screamed, "Oh, payback toy!" And I think the complexion of this thing has taken a drastic turn.
Oh, gee, Luger's back in the match. How the hell did that happen, you two?
That shoulder is very weakened. We know that Goldberg is nursing several injuries and has over the years. Did that maneuver change the momentum of this matchup?
Yeah,
Lex Luger's in control.
You're disgusting. Trot out the excuses as soon as you can. Luger is in a ballpark with Goldberg.
Let's not forget, this is no holds barred, no disqualification.
Gee, I guess that means the chair will work as a weapon.
And you know what else will work as a weapon? The brass knucks. When is he going to pull that trip card out?
Oh, what maneuverability by Goldberg to dodge that chair.
Yeah, he moved like a cat. What do we got here? There's Buff Bagwell, who helped Dwayne Bruce earlier. And he called for trainer Danny Young to come help, and apparently...
Well, remember...
Does it look like to you that maybe Buff is trying to talk him out of something?
I think so. Remember, Sarge said he wants Luger. Sarge wants payback on Lex Luger for everything that Luger has done, including the disrespect shown to a man like the Sarge.
Well, Sarge should show some respect for Starcade and let this match continue one-on-one.
Stay out of it.
That's Goldberg takes flight in the ring.
Goldberg's agility really can be amazing. I think Luger can hang with him, but I would never suggest Goldberg.
Wait a minute. Uh-oh. Poise for the spear. Look, he's got the referee again. And this time he put the brakes on.
He tried it again. Look at Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell put the referee away. And now he sticks his head through the ropes. Goldberg.
Oh, what?
Just took out Sarge with one short punch.
Today, the Sarge stuck his nose in where he didn't need to. Oh, those brass knucks!
He used those knucks
on Goldberg!
Damn it, Luger! You know it, Matt! He can't match up physically! He had to resort to brass knucks! He KO'd Sarge!
It's Goldberg's career over! One, two, three!
Oh,
no!
So close!
He kicked out of brass knucks, my God!
Brass knucks are legal! It's no DQ! What's this guy doing?
What the hell is Bagwell doing?
It's no DQ! He can get involved! He's going to put the blockbuster! Little payback on Lex coming here!
Yes! Luger ducked! Did Buff mean to do that? What's the story?
Wait a minute!
He certainly didn't look like he meant it.
And now Luger sends Buff all the way to the floor. What just happened?
I don't know.
Yes!
Buff was out to help Goldberg, apparently.
Did you see that? He signaled to me and he asked if I wanted the rack. This is great. Rack him, Lex! Rack him up!
If he racks him, it's going to be over.
Lex Luger is just seconds away from achieving immortality in wrestling. Will he end Goldberg's career with the rack?
Buff is down. Sarge is down. Buff gets up. Goldberg can barely stand. Buff is helping Sarge up. Embraces Sarge. Goldberg. Goldberg held the ropes. Goldberg, my God. The surge of adrenaline held the ropes. On the outside.
Wait a minute. Bagwell.
Buff decked the Sarge. What a judo move by Goldberg. Oh, no.
No!
Oh, the spear!
Goldberg doesn't even know what Buff just did to the Sarge. And why did Buff lay out Sarge?
What is Bagwell doing on the other side? Look at that. He's choking the life out of Sarge. What the hell is he doing?
Where did this come from and why? Meanwhile, after the spear, it's a jackhammer. Motivation!
Oh my God! Goldberg never saw it! Bagwell with a tear!
A history of concussion. questions right on the head. Oh, my God.
And let's face it, Luger and Bagwell, the history of friendship outside the ring, looks like that alliance has come inside the ring here at Starrcade.
Why? Why is Bagwell doing this? Why is Bagwell aligned with Luger? What's his motivation?
The fact is Goldberg was face down out. Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. Wayne Bruce. Why did he do this?
Oh, look at these two. What appear to be the full house.
Well, the important thing is that Goldberg won as far as Goldberg's career is concerned, but there are so many questions that still have to be answered.
What is the nature of the relationship between those two? Some sort of an alliance? As Sarge Dwayne Bruce is back into the ring, there is your victor. A very tough win for Goldberg, but in the face of the win over Luger, a lot of unanswered questions continue.
Goldberg's amazing, though. One question I can answer is that, yes, he's superhuman. Any other man would still be done for the chair shots Goldberg took in the hands of Bob Bagwell.
He'll take the victory, but the questions remain. What is the motivation of Buff Bagwell? What's the alliance between Bagwell and Luger?
How can this man do this after this battle? That's the young boy on the Maury Povich Show. Kalijah, young Kalijah, who said his dream was to meet Goldberg. Met Goldberg. Goldberg got him tickets, and he'll walk out with him. The world title bout is next.